started that last week and got into the introduction part and to the little bit of the explanations about the words used in Psalm 119 in reference to the Holy Scriptures, the law and the commandments and the statutes and the commandments and the testimonies and those things. And we're going through the first section here, which is Psalm 119, Aleph. And if you recall from last week and from your own familiarity with Scripture, that 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It has 176 verses, 22 couplets of 8 verses each, and each one beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this section here is Aleph. And we stopped about, I think the last verse we covered was 119.3, so we're looking at Psalm 119.4 this morning. And so if you'd turn there. And 119.4 says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And in the the Old Testament application here, it's primarily to the Old Testament, the commandments of the Lord, but there's also some things that we can get our hearts around. And Luke 6:46. And this is the Lord speaking here in what we know of as the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Have you ever been guilty of that? I have. I think we're all guilty of that because there's always a conflict in our bodies, in our lives, between the flesh and the spirit, between the old man and the new man, Paul describes it, and between the secular and the sacred in our lives. I was thinking about that a little bit, and I was thinking about that little story of the two friends. Both had a family, both were Christians, and they went on a little fishing trip. And so they were out there having a great time, and one guy looked at his watch, and he says, "You know, it's Wednesday. If I was home, I'd be in prayer meeting tonight." And the other one said, "So would I." And then he thought again. He said, "No, I wouldn't have been able to go. My wife is sick." And Psalm 119.5 says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Psalm 119.5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." You see the exclamation point there on the end? We all need direction at times as well as commands. And we have direction by the Word of God. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And we have correction by the Word of God. We also have the promises of God which exceed all of those other things in abundance. And Psalm 119.6 says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." And a man will not be ashamed if he allows God to direct his ways. Direct his ways. The problem here, though, in verse 6 is a lack of respect for God, for his commandments, and by extension, his word and his words. Hello, America. Hello. Hello out there. Lack of respect can only be taught by power and punishment. Power and punishment. Now, if that's too much to swallow, back it down to a family with children who are problems. How are you going to deal with those? How do you deal with unruly children? They have to have respect. They have to recognize that there is an authority, and it's not them. It's the one God has rightfully put over them. And God has set that in there. The home, the family, is one of the first things that he ordained, that he set up back in the book of Genesis. And unruly children can cause a problem, no respect. And it's punishment that leads to correction, to instruction in righteousness, like 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says there, what the Word of God is for. And Proverbs 29, 17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And we're to correct them so that we may instruct them in righteousness. In righteousness. Psalm 119, 7. Next verse says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now, if you want to promote a revival, you talk to people about their privileges. And if you want to promote a rebellion, tell them about their rights. Where do you suppose we are in America today? What's the news on most of the channels? It's something about social justice. It's about identity, politics. And it's about gender confusion. And man can praise God at all times, but the uprightness of the heart here in verse 7 cannot be gotten without learning the Lord's judgments, the judgments of the Lord. Look at Jeremiah 9, 24. Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What does the Lord delight in? He just gave us three things right there. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And God wants us to delight ourselves in the things that he delights in. And usually we're more concerned about and focused on the things that we delight in. And that doesn't always necessarily mean that's wrong. But if you're delighting in a hobby, or in music, or friends, or sports, or just the things around you, there's not anything necessarily wrong with that until you put that ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and your life lived for him. And anything that we can get caught up with and put ahead of God will cause us sin, and it'll hurt our fellowship with the Lord. And I know that's it can become sin. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know who Marty Robbins is? You ever heard that? He's not an evangelist, so you can rule that out. But years ago, I like Marty Robbins, and I like country and Western music, and it's easier to get hooked on that than it is on rock or rap or anything else, which has to be almost tackled, I think, to get you into that stuff. But, you know, pretty soon you can find that your mind is thinking about cowboys and pickup trucks and girls of the night and little puppy dogs. And I had a Marty Robbins tape. I played that too frequently in the car. And when I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I wouldn't be thinking about psalms and hymns and spiritual sayings and songs. I'd be thinking about Rose's Cantina or something like that. So I had to get rid of that. Now, maybe you're stronger than I am. Maybe you can tolerate a little of that. But I'll tell you, you don't want to tolerate too much of it. And what does God delight in? Look at Psalm 16:3. Psalm 16:3. Psalm 16:3 says, God delights in the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. And Psalm 37:4. Flip over to that if you would. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, then our desires will line up with his desires. There'll be a compatibility there. Psalm 119, verse 24. We're in Psalm 119. Look at verse 24. And verse 24 says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And there's not a lot of counsel out there in Waylon and Willie and the boys. So delight ourselves in the law of the Lord and his counselors. And then I like what Jeremiah said about this, though. Jeremiah 9, verse 24. That's what we just read. But let him that glorieth glory in me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And then you notice, though, that God also delights in those who exercise loving kindness. Loving kindness. Now, you can do acts of kindness without being loving about it. And the person who you're serving or doing it for will benefit from it. They'll be glad of it. But you won't make a heart connection. You won't make a heart connection unless your heart is in the things that you do for God. And God delights in just judgment. He said he delights in judgment. And judgment involves mercy and grace on the believer's part versus being judgmental. Judgmental. It's a check there. It ought to be a check in your spirit. And then it says, he says, God delights in righteousness in the earth. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and are washed in his blood, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's God crediting to our account his righteousness. And in Revelation 19:8, way over in the back of the book, Revelation 19:8. And he's speaking here in verse 7 about the bride of Christ. It says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. So it means there at that point in time, the church has gone through the judgment seat of Christ. It means that all the tears are shed before that judgment seat when we see what we are versus what we could have been. And the church is now without spot and wrinkle. And it says, and to her in verse 8 was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, if you would go back to Psalm 45. We're in the book of Psalms. Psalm 45. And Psalm 45 is about the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb. The things that we just recognize here in Revelation 19. And the first verse, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. This is God the Father here, referring to Jesus Christ. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Now grace is only mentioned two times in the book of Psalms, here in 45:2 and in Psalm 84, verse 1. Verse 3, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. That's right back in Revelation 19 when that door opens in heaven. A door opens twice in the book of Revelation, once in chapter 4, verse 1, when somebody goes up, goes through the affairs, the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, and the tribulation is going on earth. And then verse 19, the door opens again, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the armies of heaven that are with him, those of you in the room who know Jesus Christ, will return with him. And verse 4 says, in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. And now looking down at verse 5, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. It's the king here, whereby the people fall under thee. And then verse 6, this is all second advent. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Verse 7, thy loving kind, thou lovest kind righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And that's at the advent. When Christ comes back, he's anointed king. And he has his millennial reign upon this earth. And verse 8 and 9, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. And verse 9, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. The queen is the bride. There's the queen. There's her church. The bride, the body of Christ. Amen. And Psalm 119, back again, we'll look at verse 8. Psalm 119:8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Now the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the individual could lose his salvation. For the New Testament saint, we've got a lot more than that going for us. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 says, be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he won't. And he never will. And so we'll, to review 119 here before we move on. Psalm 119:1, the blessed is the undefiled in the way. The undefiled man in the context here is the man who verse 1, walks in the right way. When it talks about the way, that's a way that a man walks with his feet. His path, the path that God says his word is a lamp unto a light for, but you have to walk it. You have to walk in the way. And then he follows the advice found in the Bible. That's verse 2 of 119. In verse 3, we find that he seeks the right authority and he abstains from the wrong way. And verse 3 also says he does no iniquity. It is God's way and God's will for him. And then verse 4, he's a diligent man. He's a diligent man. He follows through. He carries through. Jesus Christ was diligent. He went to the cross. He didn't stop in the garden when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He didn't stop when they were questioning him. He went all the way to the cross. And verse 5, he's a man of prayer. Verse 6, he has respect for God. And verse 7, he's a man of praise. Don't neglect the praise part. Don't neglect the praise. He's a man of praise and delights in righteous judgments. Verse 7, and then number 8, he desires us to be obedient. Obedience. That little patch song, obedience is the very best thing. Know that song? You don't know that song? That obedience song. Nobody here knows that. No wonder you kids are so unruly. Just kidding about that. Okay, let's go to second part here. Psalm 119:9. And the heading on it is Beth. That little, looks like kind of a shaky backward two. And number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And we find the word occurs 39 times throughout this psalm here. Taking heed according to thy word. And Beth, the letter Beth, means a house or a tent. And it's used in Hebrew for the numeral 2. And verse 9 is a verse aimed at a young man. That's why when we look at the first 6 chapters of Proverbs, we find they're all aimed directly at that same young man. There's such a wealth of teaching in that. And I thought about that when I was looking at Psalm 119. But you'll find in chapters 2, 3, 5, and 6, each one of those in Proverbs, beginning with, my son, my son. Solomon, who was called the wisest of men, but who failed the test later on in his life because of sin in his own life. And then in chapter 4 of Proverbs, the first verse starts, hear your children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. And that understanding is a powerful word in our Christian growth. Because Job 28:28, turn to Job 28:28, he defines what that is. It's a part of the other side of wisdom. Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And if you can get that last part down, you will save yourself so many griefs and heartaches and mistakes in your life. It all has to do waiting on the Lord, trusting the Lord, seeking the Lord. You know, David called a man, Jesus called David, God called David a man after his own heart. And certainly we read the life of David. We saw that he got out of the will of God a number of times. And God judged him and God tested him. But David was very quick to cry out to God. Crying out to God. And verse 9, there's a word in there, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. I don't know if we use that word a lot today. I heard that word quite a bit when I was younger, growing up. Wherewithal, and that's really it's seeking a reason or an explanation for something. How is that going to happen? Wherewithal, you know. I mean, I'd hear my grandparents say, "Well, wherewithal are they going to get the money for that thing?" Usually something like that. But there's a little account in Matthew 6, you don't need to turn there, where Jesus on the mount, and he's talking about considering the lilies of the field, how they grow, they spin, neither do their toil, they toil, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like into one of these. And he goes on down and he talks about a man being clothed. Wherewithal shall he be clothed? And, you know, the Bible is really, I think, has a lot of similarities with an open book test in school. An open book test. I mean, it's got all the answers to any questions you may have on any subject. But we have to keep the book open. We have to keep the book open. We had some friends back in South Holland, and they're a fine Christian couple. But you see this. This is my old Bible. I'm having such a hard time. I've got two new Bibles. First of all, my writing is so bad anymore. I've got so many notes in these. But this man would bring his Bible to church brand new. And when he got home, I found that out from his wife. He put it in the box that it came in, and that's where he kept it all week. It doesn't help you there. You gotta. That's why it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against him. So keep the book open and seek the Lord for the answer. It's that seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. So according to God's word here in verse 9, there is a cleansing way. I'm going to look at that for a few minutes here. 1 John 1:7. The cleansing way. Cleansing way is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And we have 1 John 1:9 in there. It talks about confessing our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then all unrighteousness, I like to say, is the one of the things we didn't even think about, where we offended God and we were so dense that we didn't recognize it at the time. And I plead guilty to that, to having, you know. And second point, there's cleansing by the words of God meditated upon. And John 17:17 says, turn back there, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then take that with Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." You know what I like about that? I like the Lord. My strength and my redeemer. And then the third area here of cleansing, go back to the New Testament, to Hebrews. We'll look at a couple of verses there in Hebrews. Hebrews 9:14. The cleansing way is by the blood applied in the way. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, some of you may remember, this has been probably decades ago, John MacArthur. You know, John MacArthur, he got crossways with a lot of Christians back then. You recall what that was about? It was about the death of Christ. And it was that it wasn't Christ's blood, it was his death. But that's a conflict with the Old Testament, with what the Bible says. It says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In fact, in the book of Acts, if you recall, after the resurrection and the garden tomb, when Mary comes and she wants to touch him, he says, touch me not, I have not yet ascended unto the Father. What did he ascend for? To present the blood at the mercy seat in heaven. Now, a short time after that, it could be minutes to a half an hour, the other larger group that were coming to the tomb, you met them on the way, and they touch him and worship him. So he's been to the up to the third heaven. He's presented the blood at the mercy seat in heaven. And you can get that from what he told Moses on the mount when he was telling Moses about being sure, Moses, that you make it after the pattern that I hath showed thee. Moses saw that pattern somewhere during that time. And it was the pattern in things in heaven. You have an altar in heaven. There's souls under the altar waiting for their vengeance on those on the earth. And number four here, the cleansing way is by judging ourselves, confessing sin daily in our life. And look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32 here. First Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. When kids were growing up, they did something wrong. My neighbor's kids did something wrong. I ignored my neighbor's kids. Those are his kids. I get in big trouble if I tried that. But I do care. I cared about my kids, what they did and what they did wrong. And it doesn't matter what their friends do. That's my house, your house, your kids. You've got different standards from them. They need to live by your standards. And that needs to be God's standards. And then the number five, the last point on this, the cleansing way is assembling with God's people and exhorting them daily. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the deceitfulness of sin is that it always promises more than it can deliver. It never has quite what you really thought you were going to get out of it. Lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And exhortation here is encouragement But it also goes beyond that. It's coming along a brother with a problem and giving them steps of resolution, helping them, giving them instruction there. And in the Hebrews, you're in Hebrews, look at the Hebrews 10:25. It adds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can you see it? Can you not see the day approaching in the times we live in? And we can cleanse our way and keep our thought life pure only by the washing of the water of the Word. And the mind is a battleground. Mind's a battleground of the soul. That's where it all takes place. That's where you win the battle or you lose the battle. That's why your thought life needs to be guarded. In Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then look, please, at Ephesians 4:23. Ephesians 4:23. Ephesians 4:23. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13. And our mind daily runs a gauntlet of sin. You call that word gauntlet? That's the medieval times, the knights wore a glove, leather, almost up to the elbow. It was a leather glove, but inside they had these plates of metal, metal platelets in there, because it was a guard, either for the shield arm or the sword arm, both. A cut there would be deadly. And it was also the means of challenging, to throw down the gauntlet, to throw down the glove. And that passed on into early American days when they were still fighting duels. They would slap somebody with a glove, with a challenge, or throw it down. And then the a number of cultures have what they call the running of the gauntlet, which was a, it could have been a test of manhood that a young man faced. He had to run between two rows of warriors, say, there. They could have anything from sticks to who knows what else. And the American Indians was one of their practices as well. And so that's a test. So a man's thought life is pure to the extent that he's guarded by the Word of God and the words of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, the cleansing way. And we're going to stop there, and Lord willing, we'll be there next week, one more Sunday anyway. Comments, thoughts? Paul. Yeah, you know, like the...
Remind me of the parable of the talents or the pounds, where he gives you a pound and they
yeah.
Hit it.
Good. It, you know? Yeah, that's right. Really? Hit it in the earth. Wouldn't that be terrible to be there? It'd be terrible to get there and find out you had a talent you didn't even know you had. I've looked pretty hard. I can't find any I didn't have. I don't have many. Still looking for the one I've got. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Jackie. Yeah, the last. I said, yeah. It's the blood that cleanses from sin. It's the blood as a weapon of warfare along with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have bad dreams at night? Just see what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm serious about that. I'm not kidding around. I mean, you have Satan will interrupt you. You'll look for thoughts in there. If you're uneasy about anything, just start praising the Lord, thanking him for the blood. The blood is a weapon. The blood is a weapon. All right, let's close then. Lord, I want to thank you for the day and the time together, and I pray, Lord, you've blessed your word to our hearts today. Thank you so much for these that are here, and I pray for Pastor as he speaks this morning. Pray your anointing would be upon him, Lord. Be with the one here that happens to be here today without Christ, Lord. As they come and they hear the word of God, that you'd quicken their hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.